Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Monday, September 9th, 2013, and we're going to do the market report today. We do have a very special guest today, Lori Roth, will be joining us for the hour. But first, let's get started right away with the markets today. Gold today was down $2.30 at $1,387. You have silver down 16 cents today at $23.78. Platinum was down $11 at $14.88, along with palladium down 14 at $689. The stock market managed a positive note today, along with the dollar was, let's do the dollar first. The USDX today down 36 at 81.79. Crude oil was down about a buck and a half today at 108.94. And let's go to the paper markets today. You had the Dow jumping about 140 points at 15,063. The NASDAQ was up 46 at 3706. And S&P up 16 at 1671. I want to make sure I said that the Dow was up 140 at 15063. And the Dow was up, the indexes were up a little over 1% today as the worries about Syria are easing. So we'll just have to see if that is the case. And we have lots of things to talk about this afternoon during the program. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
How are you today?
Good, good, good.
Good, good, good?
Yep.
All right. Lots of things to talk about today. We have Lori Roth, Dr. Lori Roth, joining us this afternoon. And Lori is she's an American radio talk show host and political commentator. She has her own nationally syndicated political talk show, The Roth Show. She has earned a Ph.D. in counseling, and she's even involved in and was a singer and songwriter in the early mid-1990s. And she also was a candidate for President of the United States in the 2012 election. And so there's lots of things that she knows. I've been on her program several times, and a very interesting lady. Good afternoon, Lori.
Hey, how's it going? Nice to talk to you, Melody.
Well, it's great to have you here this afternoon, Lori, and Alfred Addisk is also here. Say hello.
Hello,
Dr. Roth. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you. It's great to join you guys. Do you think we're going to get our country back?
Well, that's a pretty good question. I mean, one of the things I'm curious, do you think America is facing difficulty or destruction, or are we headed for a renaissance? Where do you think we're going?
I think we are, that's an interesting way you phrase it. I think we could go either way, depending on how people respond, how they pray, how they serve, and understand how to define right from wrong. We've drifted and let people manipulate us to the 50-yard line for so many years that white is black and black is white and right is wrong and wrong is white. And I think that's the danger for America right now with this regime in the White House.
What do you think is the single biggest problem facing America today? You know, one problem, and I know there's 100 of them that you might be able to point a finger at, but what do you think is the, if you had to put one problem, what do you think it would be?
To be honest with you, I think the biggest problem is that we have decided to fire God. I think a lot of people are trying to get the ACLU to try and find God so they can sue him. That we've drifted away from our Judeo-Christian values, which is where our power was, where we were founded on, what we were founded on. Our courage, our innovativeness, our creativity, our blessed position in the world and power position, I think, was motivated and built from Judeo-Christian values, our founders on. And as we've drifted, we have dared to allow more and more that wasn't reflecting our core values and beliefs, thus Obama and what seems to be a fascist communist regime in the White House, which I thought I'd never live to see the day. I thought it was bad enough in the days of Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton. That was just talk radio fare for me. But now, this is a different level to me that we're in now. This is a man with a real agenda, and it's not American at all.
What do you think? I agree with you. The biggest problem we have is that we have walked away. We've turned our back on God. He'll turn, if the Bible is true, he'll turn his back on us, and we're headed for a lot of trouble. What do you suppose Obama's agenda really is right now?
I believe he's got a double barrel shotgun pointed at us, our economy, our way of life, our culture. And in one barrel is Islam, because he's an Islamic. In fact, it's all over Egyptian TV this last few weeks that they were outing him as a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. And so he's got an Islamic barrel in that shotgun aimed at us to control us and to take us over. And at the same time, that's a flip of the middle finger at God, of the Holy Bible and Christians. And the other barrel is his obsession with internationalism and the New World Order. He wants an internationalist, fascist, kind of socialist, communist. I mean, people throw those words around. It's all the same to me. It's big government control. He needs us dumbed down. He needs far less achievement, far less exceptionalism. He needs us to be little widgets like Stepford Wives that will do what he says. And that will be administrated by Islam if he has his way. That's my view of his agenda.
I've seen an email just today that I haven't had a chance to look at and consider, but I saw it, and it alleges that there are half a dozen, maybe 10, significant positions in the government that are now being occupied by Muslims. And the implication of the email is that this isn't an accident. This isn't just a random distribution of, well, we've got some Muslim people in there, so it's just natural that we'd have some Muslims in the White House or in the bureaucracy or whatever. But instead, the email thinks that this is a conspiracy motivated by Obama to put Muslims in positions of power within the government in order to advance the Muslim cause, not just administer on behalf of the American people, but essentially evangelize on behalf of the Muslims and do what they can to hurt the Christian community. Have you seen it? Have you seen that email? Do you know if the it's true, false?
I've seen the email, but I've seen other sources that verify that are direct. He has many, many members of the Muslim Brotherhood working for him in administrative positions. It is incredible to me that this has not been national news before, and he was instrumental in the Muslim Brotherhood taking over and literally destroying Egypt and our 30-year ally, Hosni Mubarak, and Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood pushed their way in with Obama's Hope and Code Pink and Bernadine Dorn and William Ayers and all these other morons from hell manipulating. But Obama has long been supportive of radical Muslim regimes taking over in the Middle East. We saw that in Egypt. He has them employed for him here. The illegal war in Libya before Egypt's downfall, breaching the 1973 War Powers Act, no reason we were over there, and then facilitating and allowing the assassination of Gaddafi, who had been contained. So now radicals have Libya, and the weapons fly into the rebels in Syria, and we're on the wrong side there, too. But everywhere you look at Obama's leadership in the international scene, it's to promote and put in place radical Muslim Brotherhood or Al-Qaeda. In Egypt, we saw, and of course Morsi was booted out thanks to the courage of the Egyptian people and the military siding with them instead of against them. So Egypt might have some hope down the road, but he destroyed Libya and controlled that, and now that's radicalized. And now he's doing the same thing with Syria with this ridiculous activity. He's playing this game in Syria. I'm very concerned about that potentially starting World War III if he pushes that any further.
I agree. I saw that we've got a report here right now from WorldNet Daily, and the headline is Obama Offers Assad Secret Deal. Yeah. And you may have seen this. Are you familiar with this?
Nothing surprises me. I haven't heard of a secret deal, but I know he's playing a little game. There was the first red line, and then now there's a second red line. And then there's, I never made the red line. The world made the red line. The guy sounds like he's on drugs.
Well, I understand. There are times when he's incoherent, that's for sure. According to this deal, though, he says he would not bomb Syria if the Syrian leader, Assad, agrees the following terms: serious political reforms that will result in free and fair presidential elections. I'll believe that when I see it. Assad will not be allowed to run in future presidential elections and agrees to step down from power. An international committee will supervise control of Syria's chemical weapons arsenal. The international community, with U.S. participation, will help rebuild the Syrian army and security services to guarantee participation from all factions of the population. What it comes down to is, from my perspective, is that Obama is trying to salvage what may be a failed attempt to bomb Syria. He's trying to find a way to get out of this and maintain some credit for himself, rather than just flat out admit that he's made a big mistake. And if he can persuade Assad to cooperate with this alleged deal, then he can claim to be the hero that solved the problem. Obama can claim to be the hero that solved the problem in Syria. Do you agree with that assessment? And do you think Assad is likely to go along with this secret proposal?
I think your analysis is right on. I think he tried to play a John Wayne card and was insincere as usual in making a statement about a red line in the sand that he didn't think he'd ever have to follow through with. And then the chemical weapons happen. And all the intelligence, by the way, points to the rebels that I've seen in the Arabic from the beginning. Walid Chubat has pointed that out. I've interviewed him, and IQ al-Razuli. Both their native languages are Arabic, and there really isn't any evidence at all that Assad has used chemical weapons. And so you're right. Obama has egg on his face, as usual, because he spoke first and didn't have any facts. And now he's trying to save face. I don't think Assad will kiss up. He's
I don't
got
think
Russia.
So either.
He's got Putin on his side. He's got Iran on his side. He's got enough power brokers on his side. And he said, I'm on Assad's side. Well, we're wrong to side with al-Qaeda and the rebels. They're far more vicious and evil and horrifying than Assad's people. And there's zero evidence that they use chemical weapons on the civilians at all. But there's evidence that we gave weapons to the rebels through Libya and Obama. I mean, it's a big mess, and I don't really care how Obama gets face or doesn't get face. He lost face before he was elected the first time with me. I knew he was a usurper. He wasn't eligible to be president. I sued him twice with Orly Tate as a complaint, as a plaintiff. Twice I have sued him. This is a man that is a usurper. A forgery document birth certificate was shown to America. That's a federal offense. That's just one of many. So I don't know how to talk political about this guy. This is a national emergency that we have in the White House.
It is almost like there's a divine intervention, and I know people believe this. I know people who believe that Obama's election, and especially his re-election, is a judgment from God. Now, I'm not saying that's true, but it is very difficult to understand how a man who probably wasn't even born in this country managed to get to be president. It's very difficult to understand how he could come up with such an obviously false birth certificate. And yet, the lie is allowed to pass. It's as if people simply don't have eyes to see and ears to hear. Do you have an explanation?
Well, no. I mean, I do believe in part that America is under judgment. Or if we weren't under judgment, God would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. The bottom line is, I believe, though, a little differently about the judgment thing. I think we're under judgment, and what's the word? It's judgment because of God's great love for this nation. He founded this nation. This is his nation. He's not done with us, but we're at that point, what is it, Chronicles 7:14? He's calling us to humility. He's calling us to repentance. He wants his people back, and there is a remnant. A large remnant of sincere Christians in this country who love the Lord and love their country and understand the truth from fiction. But we have to find our voice again. Everyone but the Christians has come out of the closet.
Yep.
The Islamics, the gays, everybody comes, everyone has a voice, and then the Christians, oh, we have to be peaceful. We have to support our commander in chief. Or, you know, we'll be tough, but then no, we have to be loving. I think God is calling us to humility, but he's calling us to be brave hearts right now and to be honest and gutsy.
I agree with you. And it's disturbing to see the people in the Christian community, how passive, how indifferent they appear to be. They don't seem to appreciate that we are engaged in spiritual warfare. And the only way you can fight it is on a spiritual basis. The Muslims get it. They're engaged in holy war from their perspective. And if we think we're going to fight them or resist them with just secular values, we're wrong. They will not stop coming as long as they believe they are serving God's interests. And we're not going to be able to resist that unless we think we're going to serve God's interest. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. We're going to break for a couple of commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom and Dr. Lori Roth. We'll be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom and our guest, Dr. Lori Roth, on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. And here's Melody with today's special du jour.
We got a wonderful special, and I like bringing back specials that were very popular. This is a 3-coin Indian special. We have a Mint State 62 $10 Indian, Mint State 62 $5 Indian gold piece, and a 1-ounce gold buffalo coin. And that is a modern issue bullion coin, and the total package is $3,050. And basically, we price this gold bullion coin at spot, $1,389. So, and you're paying regular prices for the $10 Indian and $5 Indian in Mint State 62. It's a great little package, $3,050, 1-800-375-4188. Remember, you can always add some 90% silver to any of the packages that you purchase or to any order here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And remember, for the month of September, for all completed trades, your name is going to go into a drawing to which you can receive or win a free $10 gold piece at the end of the month. Our drawing will be on October 1st, and the drawing will also have a second part, which you could win a tube of 20 1-ounce silver eagles. So make sure you get your orders in and completed by the 1st of October. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188.
Go ahead.
And I just wanted to let the listeners, if you have a question for Dr. Lori Roth today, call us at 1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191 if you have a question for Dr. Lori Roth. And if you would like to send me an email for a question, you could do that also. And send those to questions at dgscoins.com. questions@dgscoins.com.
All right. We were talking to Dr. Roth before we broke for commercial announcements, and we were talking, I was advancing the notion that the Muslims are engaged in holy war, and we are engaged at best in secular war. And I don't believe you can fight against someone who's motivated by their faith if you are only going to fight in with a secular system of values. If you're going to have holy war, you've got to have an equivalence on this. They want to fight for their faith, we're going to have to fight for ours. I'm curious what Dr. Roth has to say about that hypothesis. Do you agree, disagree? What do you think?
100% agree. Just like in the days in Nazi Germany with Adolf Hitler, a vast majority, tragically, of the evangelical churches and various Christian churches got confused with, oh, we have to support our president, and you know, would just look the other way and be obedient and turn up the music and sing louder in the hymns when the trains would go by with the Jews in them, the cattle cars. And some stood up. Some stood up, and they were apprehended, and many killed, many pastors killed. But we have, I'm not saying that we're in that position today, but we have the danger to be in that position today. Obama has declared in his own books that he would side with the Muslims. And he is. He is supportive of Sharia law and the Muslim Brotherhood and radical. I mean, he can talk all he wants, but his behavior reveals who he really is. He has mocked Christians. He stood against Christians. But like so many evil people, he plays the card and tries to convince people he is a Christian so he can manipulate a block of voters. But I think I think he hates God. I think he hates the Bible. He hates Jesus Christ. And he serves Islam. He serves Allah and himself. That's what I believe. And I believe, and it's not from because I just hate him or I hate black people. It to me, it's never been about color. He's an evil man that has an agenda that's anti-God and anti-American. I don't know what else to say.
I agree with you. We've seen reports that Christians are being killed by Muslims in Middle East countries. And so far as I know, our government is allowing Muslims to immigrate into this country, but no attempt is being made to save the Christians that are being murdered in those foreign countries. No attempt is being made to say, all right, bring them over here. We're letting the Christians be killed, and we're bringing Muslims over here. Do you know if that's accurate information, or does, you know, am I misinformed?
Very accurate information. It's going on. I talk with Waleed and Ted Chubot on a regular basis every weekend, and they are trying to help Christians escape from African areas and countries that are being targeted and murdered, villages, whole villages of it, and the Coptic Christians are being targeted and murdered by Islamics in Egypt, and the Christians in Syria are being targeted and murdered. And it is just last week there was a Christian village that was attacked in Syria by the Islamic radicals. You know, I say radicals, I pause. I don't say that anymore. Islamic radicals, it's not. It's Islamics, period. People who are devoted to what the Quran says, then in chapter 9, if they are actually believing in what the Quran says, not what I say, then chapter 9 gives us three choices for the infidels. Number one, people can read it themselves. Number one is forcibly convert to Islam. Or number two option for us is to submit to the jizya, the tax, the high tax, a usury tax for us to exist in their presence. Or number three, be killed. We forcibly convert, submit to their tax, or be killed. I like choice four, kiss my grits.
Yeah, I agree with you. And this is a battle that's going to be fought. The question is, You're responding from the perspective, or you seem to be responding from the perspective that all branches of the Muslim faith are dangerous to the Christian faith. And now you can correct me if I'm wrong. And I know other people look at it from the perspective that one of the two major Muslim factions is particularly dangerous, and the other one is more or less peaceful. Do you have a comment on that?
Of course not all Muslims want to kill people or whatnot.
No, I get it.
They're not lifting a sword. But, you know, the bottom line is they're all part of the same cult, which has the same Quran, the same Hadith. I mean, it's got the same. And so if they're truly a fundamentalist Islamic, obeying what Allah told them to do, what Muhammad told them to do in the Quran, then they are a danger. They cannot submit to the Constitution. They cannot submit to God. They cannot play fair ball. And it says in their own Quran that it's okay to lie to us because we're infidels. They don't even have to tell the truth in a written document. It depends on who they're dealing with. So when you look at what their Quran teaches and preaches, yes, whether they're peaceful this week and have a potluck and are very nice and have a good little business, no, I do think they're dangerous because they will not submit to the Constitution unless they're gutting half of their belief system. Their belief system is different than Christianity, and it's vicious.
I agree with you. Let's talk. We've got a caller, Joe, from Arkansas. Joe, are you there?
I'm here, yeah.
Joe, go ahead. Give us a question for Dr. Roth.
Okay, my question is this. I've heard a lot of the patriotic type people say that America has a great Judeo-Christian heritage, and I have this question about that. Now, my father was Jewish, and I grew up in a Jewish neighborhood in Chicago, and my early upbringing was very liberal, left-wing, progressive, and I was taught to kind of despise Christianity. And then later on, as I grew up and started my own, you know, awakening and becoming more independent of mind, I started feeling less friendly towards Judaism and more friendly towards Christianity, and less friendly towards progressivism and liberalism and left-wingism, and much more friendly to conservatism and constitutionalism and libertarianism. And so, and from my study of the history of the whole thing, you know, the early tradition of America, the early influence of America, the early heritage of America came mainly, what I would say is the really great, the really good heritage of America came mainly from Protestantism and deism, which were what the founding fathers of this country were. And the Judeo influence actually came much later when a lot of Jews started to immigrate to this country. And the Judeo influence has actually been more left-wing and socialistic and communistic and away from the original ideals of the founding fathers of this country. So I question this idea that America has a great Judeo-Christian heritage. I would rather say that America has a great Protestant and deist heritage.
All right.
I'd like to guess comments on that.
Okay,
well,
thank you.
I think that real history with the founders from the early days of Columbus and what his diary revealed in his prayers, that 99% of who founded this country, who was involved in the original documents, who took the bullets, who really developed this country from Columbus on, were Christians, born-again Christians who loved the Lord and who read the Holy Bible and operated from it. You're absolutely right. And there's been Jewish influence, but I would say that's minimal. It's a Christian-based country that has gone a little bit astray. You're right. And there's Jews that live in this country now that have gone secular and very liberal. But then there's devout Jews that live here that I know of too that are very devout and very conservative. But there's kind of pockets of both here. But Christians founded this country. Let's just face it.
Well, I agree with that. And one of the historically, a nation has been one race, one culture, one religion, one territory. And that's effectively a working definition for a nation that's been true for a couple thousand years.
Yeah.
Right now, we're being led to believe that we can maintain a nation that has a multitude of races and religions and cultures and languages. And I'm curious, do you think that modern technology will allow that kind of nation to survive and hold together? Or is it possible that even our technology isn't enough to make that, to overcome those fundamental forces that have been working for the past couple thousand years?
I don't think of it in terms of technology. I think of it in terms of when I think of all of our diversity and all of the different nationalities in this country, the only way to secure our nation and keep us going, who we are, reflective of our Bill of Rights, our Constitution, not the UN, not any internationalist baloney, for us to be us, we have to funnel all the differences through our Judeo-Christian values, through our American flag, and who we are in that shape. So if they want to come here, then they need to really consider learning English. I understand, hey, great, speak another language. But you know what? Make English your primary language, and we'll respect your other language, too. But don't make us bend over, and don't make us destroy our identity. Don't make us hide our flag and feel ashamed to be Americans and patriotic because, oh, that's racism, because what about your flag? Well, I don't care about your flag. I care about the U.S. flag. And if you're going to be here and assimilate and be different and be unique, well, take that uniqueness and you funnel that right through the U.S. flag and our way of thinking. And there's plenty of room for uniqueness in that. And people can have their subculture in this culture. There's Chinatown, there's Italian town, there's all kinds of towns. But that doesn't mean that they can't be American first. And they need to be to keep our country going. And you know, not try to change us, but in order to survive that America, we have to remember who we are, who God made us to be. Who we are in our Constitution and Bill of Rights, we're the most unique country in the planet. I don't know of another country with a constitution like ours.
Well, I agree with that, and I agree that even more remarkable than the Constitution, from my perspective, is the Declaration of Independence. It's the only document in the world that started a country where the presumption was that all the people received their rights from God. And the corollary is in the third sentence that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. We're the only country that started with that premise. And we've lost it. We are, you mentioned, for us to remain us. You know, we have to, why is it that we've forgotten what it means to be us? Why have we forgotten what it means to be Americans?
Well, I think in part we have the New World Order and the Sustainability Agenda 21, UNESCO, communism. Those are like guns to our head. UNESCO, Agenda 21, sustainability, all that. It is to teach kids and to teach Americans not to be Americans. Don't be exceptional. Don't achieve. It's like this old poster I used to see when I lived in Japan. It was in the school system over there, and it used to really concern me. And it was called, all it would say is, pound down the nail that stands up. Sustainability and the New World Order and the international world view of the UN is to pound down the nail that stands up in America. Don't achieve, don't lead, don't be a light on the hill. Just be a little smoldering ember down below. Have enough embers glowing that we can steal your money and redistribute it. Sure, we want your money, but we need the people not to achieve as much. Just be Stepford wives, march in line, smile, achieve a little bit, do work in the kitchen, and give us the money from the bake sale that you had, and then we'll take care of the rest. That is what's been changing in America. You know, when you have NASA and the space program going by the wayside, was it a year or two ago, and the news was, oh, Obama wanted them to push to support Islam and Islam's venture and achievement in space. And I'm going, they had achievement in space? Islam? We're supposed to reach out to Islam through NASA now? Is that the deal? That's his deal.
Well, we'll talk more about that when we return in just a moment. We have to break for some commercial announcements. Again, I'm Alfred Adisk, here with Melody Cederstrom and our guest, Dr. Lori Roth. And please stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival with our guest, Dr. Lori Roth. We've been talking about the problems that ail this country on a spiritual basis so far. That's been perhaps the fundamental focus in the first two segments of the program. Let's move a little bit a little different direction. Given your background in drug and alcohol counseling, Dr. Roth, what's your position on drug wars, on drug laws, in the war on drugs?
Well, I think when I think of the laws on the books, we have a lot of good laws that are helpful and appropriate, state and federal, with alcohol and drugs and border security. What we don't have is will to enforce them in a regular way. When we have the will to enforce the laws and support law enforcement who enforce the laws, we will heal a lot. More quickly, in the area of alcohol and drugs and drug wars. And we have an issue with borders and amnesty and schmamnesty and all this, and not really supporting our border patrol. We practically give them dadgum squirt guns and say, you know, don't do anything drastic. Don't really arrest people. You know, when we support the laws on the book to honor our state sovereignty and our protection and our right to survive and ranches on the borders, the drug wars are going to go down to a small roar. They're going to be stopped when we support the laws we already have. We don't need any more laws. We just need a will and a government, state and federal, that will support them.
You're talking about borders and controlling the borders. That's part of what your previous answer, and I'm curious, how is it that the government can claim that they are here and acting in the name of national security? All right, we're going to perhaps bomb Syria in the name of national security, and that the government will not secure our borders. Is it possible to actually have national security? Is it possible that the government really cares about national security if the government won't secure our borders?
I don't think they have cared for some time. And I would say that in the Bush regime, I would say that under Obama, and going back for some time. Because there is an agenda for a new world order, for internationalism, for to have a tri-country situation. Bush was into that and the superhighway and all this nonsense. He wanted us to be kind of like the European nation. There is an agenda that involves people from other countries coming up through the border to invade America and dumb us down and really, really redistribute the wealth and create a voting bloc that will be kind of like Stepford Wives, socialist, communist kind of acting. And I think that's the agenda with the borders, and it has been through this regime, through Bush. And his father, when he used to give his speeches, if you recall, Bush Sr., he used to talk about the New World Order, and my skin would crawl. And I thought, are people listening? It's not just Democrat.
Well, you know, it's not just a question of if people are listening or not. It's a question of, is anyone leading? And what I mean by that, we had the Black Robe Brigade or the Black Robe Regiment that motivated the American people on a spiritual level during the American Revolution. And today we have ministers in 501c3 churches, and they are inhibited by tax laws from engaging in political activity. And as a result, not many ministers in this country are standing up to tell people, look, there is a spiritual foundation for your politics. You need to grab onto that and understand that you should be doing certain things because it's what the good Lord would have you do. Do you know of anyone, or how many people do you know, who are effectively leading people and inspiring them to do what's right for the American people?
Very few, sadly. I think we are in a society when most leaders, they learn how to do soundbite theater. Sound conservative or even sound Christian and conservative, but then they view, okay, we'll use God's name, we'll use the name, you know, we'll even mention Jesus once in a while, like Obama did, but didn't mean anything. It was nothing but soundbite theater to try to manipulate votes. I think that people get afraid. They think that power is in money and polls, and they think career. They think that, and I think that the only way to have integrity and really serve and put your ego where it needs to be is to really serve the Lord and ask for forgiveness for your sins and understand that He gives power and He takes it away. He loans and He takes away. And throughout the Old and the New Testament, there's example after of people who in part were good and they served and then they got all puffed up. And then God brought them down. One was eating wild grass and living outside the palace for years. What was that, Nebuchadnezzar? One of them went insane for a while.
No, I think it was... I remember the story, and it's not Nebuchadnezzar, but I remember the story, and I can't think of...
It was one of the kings that God blessed, and then he decided to take it. It was all him that did all the good things now and all the blessings of the land. He took credit instead of gave it to God, and he went insane for a while. He was living out with the animals, but it's not just that. It's just so many stories like that. When we forget where our power comes from and our leading comes from and our blessings come from, we start worshiping our career. We start worshiping the attention we get. We start worshiping everything but what we need to be doing. And I think that's what plagues our politicians. It's fun, it's power, it's seduction, of course we look conservative, of course we don't try to be naughty, but they end up being evil as they look good and do nothing.
We keep electing the lesser of two evils and acting surprised when we wind up with an evil result. We've got a caller, Dave is on the line from Michigan. Dave, are you there?
Yeah, Al. Melody, Dr. Roth.
Hi, Dave.
Hello.
Hearing from you. With the prison system, I hear the Texas prison system has an agreement that they have to have 95% occupancy and 1 in 65 people in the United States are in prison working at 25 cents an hour, which beats the Chinese working at 50 cents an hour. And I think they actually want to put people in prison to have this workforce of over 600,000 people on that issue. Secondly, there's a term, it starts with a D, and I forget what it is, where the Muslims don't have to have Obamacare. They don't have to have insurance. And the fellow from the military told me this, and a friend of mine emailed that to me on the Internet, and allegedly it's true that they've been, because of their so-called faith, that they don't have to be insured.
And, I've heard the story. I've heard the story, and I think the word is dhimmitude. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but D-H-I-M-M-I-T-U-D-E. I've heard
that
the story,
like it, yeah.
But my understanding is the word dhimmitude does not appear in Obamacare, and the story might not be true. Do you know if it's true, Dr. Roth?
I haven't heard that. I've heard that that Islamics could bow out. I've heard that story, but I have not confirmed it, but... It is not, Obamacare isn't fair, and it does kiss up to his people and constituents. And he said that it wouldn't be covering illegal aliens, but it does. And it forces people to do things, and it forces the Catholic Church and the organizations to support abortions and things like that. And so there's a lot in there that is not anything what he said, but then to me he lies all the time.
Well, how would he know? We pass these laws routinely where they're so large, no one reads them. And the classic illustration is here we have Congress, after they've enacted Obamacare, they find out that they can't afford it for their own staff. And now they say, wait, we've got to change it. How did they get there? Because they didn't read the law before they voted for it.
Well,
Obama doesn't know what's in Obamacare.
Yeah, well, Alfred, I think, and Melody, I think that I've said it even for years on my show. I don't care if they want to call it a 500-page document, a 2,000-page document. It's just too long. And if they dare say, as they did with Obamacare, they admitted not reading it. Well, you have to vote something in first, and then you can read it later. To me, that is so egregious. I've said it in print, and I've said it on my show, and I'll say it again. It should be a crime. It should be a criminal offense for them to sign something into law that they have not read. That should be impeachable. They should be kicked out and arrested for that.
Yes. Do you know what the essence of every law is, Dr. Roth?
What's that?
Legislative intent. Anytime there's a question about what a law means, when they take it to the Supreme Court, then they endeavor, and the language is ambiguous, and they don't, one side says it means one thing, the other side says no, it means something else. The Supreme Court endeavors to determine, they recognize the ambiguity, they say, well, it might be this, might be that. They try to find out what was the legislative intent, and based on the intent, then they determine what the language should mean. Now, the point I'm getting to is this. How can there be legislative intent from people who don't even read the laws? It's not only true they don't write the laws, they don't even read them. Where is the legislative intent?
Good point. It's not there. I mean, it is, you know, there's no excuse to sign something into law when they don't even know what they've signed. How is that serving America at all? I mean, it could say, now we're supposed to turn in all the Christians. Now we're say something ridiculous, and they would have signed it into law, and then, well, we didn't read it.
I understand. Dave, did you have something else you wanted to add?
Yeah, I've heard that. I can't verify this at the moment. I heard 1,700 pages were added to Obamacare after it was voted on, after the fact.
Well, it's another one. How would anyone know if they didn't read it the first place?
What was in it before. She sure don't know what's in it now, except it's not going to interfere with her pineapple growing in Malaysia, because even the minimum wage isn't affected over there. She put a little clause on there that they don't have to pay minimum wage. So this is how they make laws for themselves.
Yeah.
And the next question is, how do they decide if they don't read the laws? How do they know which laws to vote for and which to vote against? Are they calling the psychic hotline, or is someone telling them?
The guy with the biggest check.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
That's exactly right. And here's the next question. If someone is telling your congressman or your senator how to vote, does that congressman or senator represent you and the people of your state, or does he represent the man or woman who said, Bob, here's what I want, vote for this stack of bills over here and vote against these over here? He's representing whoever tells him how to vote. He's not representing the people.
And the ones that are not being voted for, I'll vote against it. And the ones that say, well, I'm safe this time, I guess I'll be one of the few Republicans that helped this pass.
Well, the whole world has turned into something bizarre. Dr. Roth, why don't you give folks a quick idea of how they can listen to your radio program and where they can contact you, take a look at your website?
Sure. Well, thank you. You can visit me at therothshow.com, therothshow.com, therothshow.com. My show airs each night. You can listen online or on a radio station in your market if it's on there yet. You can listen online from 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to 1 in the morning East, or listen later to archives at whatever hour you want. It's posted right away, and they're free.
Okay. We're going to have, what do we got left? A little over a minute and a half, maybe a minute and 15 seconds. Do you have any current heroes? Are there people you can point to and say, this man, this woman, these people are standing up and doing the right thing for America? Do you have any heroes you'd like to name, or you can name?
Me?
Yep.
Now, other than Jesus Christ, he's my hero. I admire what Ted Cruz is trying to do. I don't have too many heroes right now.
It's hard. It's hard to point to people that are standing up and making a positive difference. There's lots of people who are perhaps the worse, the better, or the lesser of two evils. But where do you find the better of two heroes?
Well, they're out there. I mean, Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America. You guys. I mean, Melody Sederstrom. I mean, what you guys are trying to do in business.
And you, Lori.
I'm a small fry hero. I'm like you guys. I just am opening my mouth and trying to do the right thing while we still can.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to have to let it go at that because we're out of time. So I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Sederstrom. We want to thank Dr. Lori Roth for being our guest today. I want to thank all of you folks for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Dr. Lori Roth, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lori.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.